Thank you, Jesus. We're having an awesome time. I'm just give you recent reports. We had lots of miracles, me and my husband on the road, and being back this year in Pennsylvania, already heard of reports of last year, people we prayed for that we didn't even know that happened. One of the ladies who came to our meeting up in Chambersburg was allergic to perfumes and lotions this year. She heard we were back preaching at that church, and she came back. She said, last year you prayed for my knees and God healed them. Pain has not come back. And so she said, I've been allergic to perfumes and lotion. Of course, when I went up to pray, she could smell all the perfume and lotion. She said, I'm allergic to you. I went, whoa. She said, I'm allergic to perfumes and lotions. And so I said, began to cry out, Lord, you got to heal her. You got to heal her. She's allergic to me. And not only that, Lord, let her begin to enjoy perfumes again. Let her begin to enjoy lotions. Let her go to the cosmetic counters and just smell again the beautiful things that you've created, because a lot of that comes from flowers and beautiful things. Begin to pray for her, and after service, pastor said, she's still here. I didn't know anything about that, and I said, okay, what's that mean? He said, oh, if she even comes to church, she comes real late and she leaves real early and stays away from everybody as far back as she can. He said, she's still hanging out. I got a call a week later from the pastor, and he said, she's healed. She's smelling perfumes and lotions. God's healed her. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. My Jesus didn't change. Hallelujah. Also, to report, just here in Pennsylvania, there's been 8 deaf ear open. I say ear because it's been one for a person, it seems like. They have one ear that's real bad and the other ear that's good. We had 2 in Fayetteville, Pennsylvania, that their ears was opened up. God opened them. We had one up near Harrisburg that she came up. She had a heart attack, and that right side of her heart where she had the heart attack, it was on my right side. Her hand was a little bit paralyzed, and her ear was deaf. She couldn't hear. Prayed for her. Nothing happened. I was leaning up in her ear just whispering where only she could hear me, saying, I love you. I know you didn't hardly hear that. Some of you might have. But that was that low, telling her, I love you. Jesus loves you. Can you hear me? I was just asking questions. Do you know that Jesus loves you? And I prayed again, and nothing. She wasn't responding. I would lean up to that one ear. People probably thought I was just hugging her and telling her I love her, but I was testing that ear out. About the 5th time, I was kind of like some of us do. Lord, I'm about to give up here. I'm doing my part. You told me if I would do what's possible, you would do the impossible. Now, we've already prayed. 4 ears have opened up. She was number 5. This number is grace. Now, Lord, I'm asking for your grace on this woman for her ear to open. And I leaned back up and really, in all honesty, thinking it's going to be the same thing. And I leaned up and said, well, I hope you can hear me now. Can you? She said, yes. I said, you hear me? Yes, I hear you. I can hear you. And so I said, do you know Jesus loves you? Yes, I know Jesus loves me. She's answering. I said, what am I saying now? She said, you said, what am I saying now? Hallelujah. And I'm whispering this real low in her ear where only she can hear. Tears are streaming down her face. Her sister comes running up. Her sister whispers something in her ear. Yes, I hear you too. Hallelujah. Jesus is so good. Hallelujah. Man that we prayed for the other night in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, went down praying for him, went down the Holy Ghost. I didn't push him down. I don't believe in pushing people. And he went down. I wasn't even praying for an ear. He just said, I'm a coward and when I was in the world, and I've asked Jesus in my heart, I don't want to be a coward for Jesus. These people don't know I'm a coward, but I am. I mean, he was just telling me his heart and was crying, can you pray for me that I won't be a coward? I said, sure. God will make you a bold man, a brave man. And I began to pray for him, and he went down. A little while he's fixing to get up, he said, oh, I can hear. They said, what? He said, I can hear. Y'all don't understand. I've been taking steroids and everything. This ear was stopped up. I had something bad. I was doing everything, and nothing would open it up. He said, my ear's opened up. I can hear out of this ear. It don't hurt. And they were trying to help me. He said, don't help me up yet. You don't understand. She did all those miracles she told about her dad. I know this may not be as big where legs grew or eyeballs put in an eye, but he said, for me, y'all, this is big. You see, sometimes we don't think much about somebody's headache or toe ache or sprung ankle or migraine headache. But to that person, it's big. So I just want you to know, to Jesus today, your headache is important to him for you to be healed. When your little child says, Mama, I got a boo-boo on my finger, and you kiss it, you don't want your little baby hurting, right? He don't want you hurting either. Amen. So I come to tell you, Jesus still heals today. Hallelujah. Luke 18, verse 1. I could tell you many more, but let's get on with the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Just to know that Jesus still heals today. He didn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you came today doubting, get ready and start believing. Come expecting. Amen? Hallelujah. Starting with the first verse. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. That means to persist in prayer until the answer comes. Does not mean endless repetition or painfully long prayer sessions. Always praying means keeping our request constantly before God as we live for him day by day by day. Amen? Keeping them up there, Lord. Remember me. Hello, Jesus. Help, Lord. Here I am. I'm asking you again. Keeping them before him. When we thus live by faith, we are not to give up. God may delay answering, but his delays always have good reasons. As we persist in prayer, we grow in character, we grow in faith, and we grow in hope. Now, I'm fixing to read some more of this story to you, but I just want you to know it's important that we stay in continual prayer, consistent, persistent. Colossians 4 and 2, Paul says, continue in prayer and watch in the same hour with thanksgiving. Thank you, hallelujah, thank you. Yeah, I don't know why people have this thing of not being as thankful anymore. It's part of that complacency. Some deaf ear open and they just, oh, that's nice. God open up somebody's migraine headache stopper, their sprained ankle or broke leg, and they're like, that's nice. You know, if I handed you a $100 bill and I said, here's you a $100 bill, and you went, oh, that's nice. You think I want to give you another one?
No.
In fact, I would really like to get that one back.
Yes, thank you.
I'm like, can I have that back? Right? But if I handed you a $100 bill and you, oh, I got $100. Oh, look, she gave me a $100 bill. Look at this. Hey, wow. Can you see this? Can you believe this? I got $100. Whoa. I'd be saying, let me find me another one. When we get excited at what God's doing, I can just see him saying, well, if you think me healing that migraine headache something, just wait till I grow a finger out. Come on. He said, just wait till I open some blind eyes. You get excited over that. But sometimes we just stop the move of God. Oh, that's nice. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to see some excitement again. I'm ready to see some enthusiasm again. Not only in our salvation, in our healing, just being in the house of God. We're a privileged country to be able to come and worship God. There are places underground that would just wish they could come and have this freedom that you have here in America to come to church and praise God and worship God and be in his presence. We ought to come in and go, hey, I'm in a church where I can praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, we can get noisy? Yeah, scare the pastor once in a while. Hallelujah. I bet he'd like it. He'd start spitting some more. Hallelujah. You might get that spit back out of him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 2. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith? Shall he find faith on the earth? Now, I was looking at this story of the unjust judge. How many of you have ever been before a judge? Oh, no, I'm going to meet. Oh, finally. Okay, thank you. I was hoping I wasn't the only one. I won't get personal what you was before this judge on, okay? I'm not going to ask you that. Just one. Now, if you've never been before a judge, how many's been in a courtroom and seen a judge? Okay, so now a few more. Okay, now we'll go a little further. Some of you have been seeing Judge Judy and stuff like that on TV, so you know about a judge, okay? You know, they're not one of those that whenever they enter a courtroom and they tell everybody to rise, they, hi, good morning, everybody. Good to have you here in the courtroom today. So nice to meet you. And what's your name? Now, you don't see nothing friendly about them. Never seen a judge enter a courtroom, big old smile on his face. Hello, everyone. Go ahead and have a seat. Nah. Every time I see they got that black robe on, they got that stomp face. And the bailiff says, everyone rise, please. And he even does it like fear in him. Everyone rise, please. The judge enter the room. He swishes across that robe. Doesn't even hardly look at you. Sits down. Looks down at his papers. Looks over his glasses. Yeah. Nothing friendly about that. Now, I got a ticket for, running a stop sign. I was going up to this three-way stop sign, and I saw this policeman up on the left there, so I knew the policeman was there, and I said to myself, stop at the stop sign. There's a policeman. I stopped at the stop sign, and then I went on. After I stopped and acted like I looked three ways and kind of hesitated. And then I went on. Here come that little policeman, pulled me over. I said, what'd you stop me for? He said, you didn't stop at the stop sign. I said, yes, sir, I did. He said, no, you didn't. I said, yes, sir, I did. I made sure I stopped at the stop sign. I saw you when I was coming up the hill, and I told myself before I ever got to the stop sign, there's a policeman sitting there. Stop at the stop sign. So I said, I made sure I stopped before I proceeded. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm writing you a ticket. I stopped at the stop sign. He said, well, you can take it up with the judge. Sign right here. I said, well, I will. Now, I was younger then and a lot smaller. And I thought, well, you know, I've charmed people before. I'll just put my little charming self together and I'll go to this charming judge. I'd never been before a judge. They didn't even have judge shows back then when I was younger. So I'm thinking, you know, because all I hung around with growing up was preachers, friendly people. Hello, how are you? People who went to church, who hugged each other's neck. Even when they were mad at each other, they pretended they liked you. So I never went and was around anybody that looked mean like that. And so here I am thinking, I got all dressed up and I got all, I did my makeup, what we'd think for prom, not perfect, my hair all perfect. And I thought, I'll just go bat my eyes and talk to this judge and just be real charming. It's always worked before. And so I go in the courtroom and hey, I say, all rise. I'm like, rise. So I get up because I see everybody else getting up. I didn't know. Thank goodness I did. I'd have probably gotten more trouble. And then they say, you may be seated. When he sits down, you sit down. And I'm thinking when he walked out, ooh, he looks mean. Somebody needs to get him in a better mood. So that was my other thing. I thought, well, I'll conquer making him smile. You know, so I'm trying to smile at him. He don't smile nothing. Thing, well, when I get up there and talk to him, he'll smile. You know, didn't realize they don't smile. And so here I am before the judge, finally, and already I've heard him telling people, pay the ticket, pay the ticket. I'm thinking, ooh, he's mean. Somebody needs to talk to him. Give him some personality. Didn't know they were supposed to be mean like that. I just thought, you know, he needs some help. You know, so it came my turn, and he said, okay, and so what? How do you plead? I said, well, not guilty, Your Honor. And he said, and just why are you not guilty? And I said, well, But here's what happened. So I told him. Saw the policeman, stopped at the stop sign, and he went. He said, "So that's your story?" I said, "Well, yes, sir. I stopped. I know I did." And so he said, "All right, pay the ticket." I said, "What?" I said, "No, sir, wait a minute. You didn't understand. I stopped at the stop sign. Now I don't know. You're not supposed to kind of keep on going with the judge because, you know, with mom and dad, it kind of worked, especially mom. Hey, mom, can I please, go, can I?" But I didn't realize that you don't kind of keep persisting. And so I'm like, "Well, what's the deal here? Is this kind of like something y'all just planned up that people are going to pay the ticket anyway when you know you stopped, when you know you're innocent?" And so he didn't like that because he thought I was making an accusation. And this thing just went on and on until all of a sudden I hear I could take out a bench warrant. I said, "What's that?" And then somebody says, "That means he can arrest you right here." "For what? I forgot about being charming." I'm like, "Is this guy crazy? I'm the one who was being crazy." But long story short, I paid the ticket. But I begin to think about this story right here, how this woman came before an unjust judge. So if I thought mine was mean, I bet she really had a meanie. And she was a widow woman. So here she was really by herself. She didn't have no husband. Said, "Come on, honey, get him again." You know, sometimes when we get a little tough and stuff, and our husband stands us out front, "Yeah, go ahead, tell him again, honey." You know, like sometimes we'll do them when we're kind of mad. Won't you just tear him up this time? "Well, now, honey, I don't feel like doing it." "Well, this is one time I want you to get mad. It's okay." You know what I'm talking about? We're trying to tell them, "You have permission, honey, to get mad this time." They don't want to get mad. And sometimes we're like, "I'm going to go in that store and I'm going to get my money back. How could they charge you that much? I'll get your money back." "Yeah, honey, go. You get them." Amen. And so I pictured this lady coming into this unjust judge. Here he is. He's sitting there doing it. It's time for her. We're on the docket, and they called her name up. And I can see this judge sitting at his desk, looking down at his papers, as they do, and looking over at her. And said, "Can I help you? How do you plead?" And I hear her say, "Venge me of my adversary." "Woman, I already read the case. I've already decided no." And the woman asking, "No." I can see this woman trying to talk to the judge like I did. And he said, "No, no, 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 no." He was mean. And I can see this little widow woman, probably sometimes it was a struggle for her to even get there, working her way back out of the courtroom. "Good to see you. God bless you. I'll see y'all tomorrow. I'm coming back to see this judge." And I can see her coming back the next day. And here she is on the docket walking back up. And the judge is thinking, "What is she doing back? What's her case today?" And she gets right up to the judge. And the judge says, "I see you're back." Looks down at his papers. He said, "This is the same thing I told you no to yesterday." I just see her smile at him, as mean as he looked, and says, "Yes, Your Honor, but I just come to ask you, avenge me of my adversary." I can see this judge again. "No, I told you no, and don't you ask me again." And I can see this judge day after day, because he's used to being mean, and he's used to being tough, and he's used to not giving you what you want, and there's no way you're going to charm him. There's no way you're going to make him smile. He doesn't have that in his vocabulary, in his mind, and this guy's even worse. But this woman didn't give up. She kept coming. She kept knocking. She kept asking. And I can see to the point that he even said, "Here she comes again." And they're like, "What are you talking about?" He says, "I know that rattle in that car when it pulls up in the courtroom. And I know it's her again. Go lock the doors of the courtroom. Don't let her in. I told her no, and she don't seem to understand that my no means no." They said, "Your Honor, this is a public place. We can't lock the doors. She has a right to come in." And I can see the little old widow woman. Here she comes again, walking her way. "Hi, y'all. Good morning, bailiff." And the judge sees her coming, and he disappears. He's behind his desk, and they're all, "Well, where did His Honor go?" He said, "We have the new case in front, but the judge has left the room." They all said, "No, he's behind his desk." And the little old lady's just standing right there. And finally he goes, "You're back again." She just smiles at him again. "Yes, Your Honor. Avenge me of my adversary." "No, no, no, no." I can see him sometimes not even coming out of his room that he's been in, his courtroom, in his office, and they're knocking on the door. "Come on, Your Honor, court's in session." "She's out there. I'm not coming out. Make her leave. If she leaves, I'm coming out." "Your Honor, she's not going to leave, and she has a right. She's already got permission to put her name on the docket." And I can see him so upset and him trying to work himself to say, "I'm going to get out there, I'm going to be strong, and I'm going to tell her no." But finally, he got to the point that she kept on coming, and she kept on walking up, and she kept the same pace. And every day, she came and said, "I'm going to ask him again today." And she said, "Here I come again." And when she showed up this day, and he couldn't hide in the office, and he couldn't hide in his desk anymore, he finally looked at her and he said, "Woman, I fear neither God nor man, but you I'm beginning to get worried about. I give up." Basically what he said. "I fear neither God nor man, but because you keep on coming, you keep on knocking, you keep on showing up here, I'm losing hair trying to pull my hair out. So yes, yes, yes." God said, "How much more as me, your heavenly Father, would be for you if an unjust judge would do that?" I got to think about it. It's kind of like kids saying, "Hey, Mama, can I go to the zoo today? Huh, huh, huh?" "No." "Oh, come on, Mama. My friend Johnny, he's going. And if we go to the zoo today, Johnny's mama said that we could eat popcorn together and we could share, you know, our candy and stuff at the zoo and feed the animals." "No." And so you send the kid out of the room and 10 minutes later, "Mama, I'll clean my room up. It'll take me 5 minutes and I'll go pick up the rest of my clothes you wanted me to pick up. I told you to pick them up anyway. You're going to pick up those clothes anyway, and no, you're not going to the zoo." And about 5 minutes, "I got my clothes all picked up just like you asked me. Can we go to the zoo now, huh?" And it's like, "I said you're going to pick up your clothes anyway, but we're not going to the zoo. Do you understand that? See my lips? No, no, no." For 30 minutes, it's quiet. Got it across to the child. Thank goodness. All of a sudden, here comes that child back in there. "Mama, I talked to Grandma. Grandma said it's okay if we go to the zoo today. She thought it was a good idea. It's a beautiful day." "I don't care what Grandma said. You are not going to the zoo today." Well, they just don't give up. Pretty soon, "Grandma said if you don't want to go to the zoo, she'll take me to the zoo." "No, you're not going to the zoo. Grandma's not going to the zoo. And we're not going to go see your friend Jimmy." But a child does not seem to understand no. They keep on and keep on till pretty soon you're saying no, no, no. And now you got your purse. Your husband says, "Where are you going?" "We're going to the zoo. See you later." The devil tries to get you not to keep asking God for something that is in His Word that you have every right for. Don't bother God with your migraine headaches. You've been prayed for already. You don't need to be prayed for again. You just have no faith if you go back up there. Come on, you've heard that. There's even some preachers who told people that. "Now I've prayed for you. You need to walk in faith." "Well, I'm trying to, but in the meantime, I'm hurting. Do you think you can pray again?" I'll never forget, I had this bad leg, and it hurt really bad. And I mean, I was in pain, and I believe. There was a time when my uncle asked me, he said, "Do you think God can make a rock bigger than He can lift?" And I said, "Sure." He said, "Then God can't do anything." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "If God can make a rock bigger than He can lift, then He can't lift it, then God can't do anything." I said, "No, Uncle Jim, you're wrong. You just don't know God." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "God can make a rock bigger than He can lift, and then He can turn around and lift it." He said, "No, you didn't understand my question." I said, "Yeah, I did, Uncle Jim. You just don't know God." God can make a rock bigger than you can lift, and then God can turn around and lift it. You just don't know God. And so I knew that I believe in God, and I knew that I believe in the Word of God, and I know I believe in divine healing, and I know I've been in divine healing, watched divine healing happen, but now I'm in pain. I came up for prayer. I've seen this preacher that I knew pray for people, and people have been healed. And he said, "You're healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah." But I went and sat down, and I'm still hurting. Okay, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, hallelujah, I'm walking in faith, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, I abide in you, you abide in me, we ask the will of the Father, it shall be done, glory, hallelujah, I'm healed, oh, I'm healed, oh, I'm healed, oh, I'm healed, oh, I go home, Wednesday night church comes, guess who's back up there? He said, "Hey, go up, can I pray for you for us?" My leg. He said, "What's wrong with it?" Told him the same thing. I mean, I described it, and he said, "Didn't we pray for that Sunday?" I said, "Mm-hmm." He said, "Well, you're healed." I said, "Well, then I need the evidence, because I'm in pain." And he said, "Well, you need to walk in your healing." I have. I've quoted every scripture in the Bible. I've talked to this leg till I'm blue in the face. I've told this leg what it's supposed to do. I've prophesied to it. I've commanded it to get in line, and it still hurts. And I'm a baby. I can't take it. Can you pray again? So he said, "All right, I'm going to pray again, but you just need to stand in faith and believe God that God's done it." So he prayed again. So I went and sat down, still there. This went on for 2 weeks that I kept coming up for prayer, and he kept getting on to me. And I said, "Well, I'll get somebody else to pray if you won't, but I'm going to get healed one way or another. And I've seen you pray for people, and people get healed." He said, "Your problem is you're not believing." I said, "I believe." I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, why don't you carry the pain, and then I'll believe, and I'll pray for you." I mean, it gets pretty desperate after a while. 6 weeks go by. I'm getting in every prayer line I can. I don't know about you, but I don't want to suffer like this. And I didn't care what the devil told me. "Well, you pray for people, they get healed. Look at you, you're not getting healed. You know, God don't care about you. God's making you suffer. You're suffering for God." Where do we get that we're suffering for God? If you're suffering for God, quit going to the doctor and throw your pills away and suffer. No, seriously, if you think you're suffering for God, don't go to the doctor no more and don't take any medicine. Suffer for God like you're supposed to. I just don't believe Jesus did that we have to suffer, amen? And so I went for prayer again, and I kept on, and I kept knocking, and I kept asking, and I kept knocking, and I kept asking. And one day I was just seeking God and seeking His presence, but I was still praying for my leg, and I got in a corner praying and crying out to God, and all of a sudden I just got in His presence, and the Lord tapped me on the shoulder. He said, "What about that leg? How does it feel?" "Oh, it's gone. Hallelujah. Honey, I'm healed." I'm hollering all over the church. "Honey," he's back in the sound booth there. "I'm healed, honey, my leg, I'm healed." And I know he was glad because he's tired of listening to me. Hallelujah. The people get tired of listening to you. The preacher will get tired of praying for you. But Jesus says to keep knocking, keep asking, keep coming. Be persistent in your prayer. Keep on coming. There was a lady that would come to my dad's meeting. Took her 2.5 hours to get to the meeting. She walked to church. She was crippled and mangled. She looked bad. And my dad had prayed for her, and every night she'd get up and testify she was healed. Now I'm giving you two sides of the coin here, because we can walk in our faith, in our healing. There's times that people will tell you you're healed and you still got the evidence like me and it hurts. But then there's times that you know that you hot dog got it no matter what the evidence is. Do you understand that? It's like being saved. You hot dog got it and you knew it. Well, there's times you can pray for somebody and they're still hurting and something's going on, but they said, "He healed me." He did? Yeah. You knew. You knew within that instant God healed you, but yet no evidence. And this woman was mangled and crippled, and there was no evidence of healing. And she'd say every night, "Does anybody want to testify?" She said, "I do." And she'd stand up and testify how God healed her. And everybody's looking at her. And the pastor finally came to my father and said, "Don't let her testify no more. It's not a good testimony. She's all mangled, and these people are looking at her, and she's telling everybody she's healed every night." This went on for 5 weeks, but every night, no matter what, they'd even try to bypass her and ignore her. I'm testify. It got to where this woman now took 2 hours to get to church. Then it took an hour and a half. Then it took 30 minutes to get to church. Now it only took her 15 minutes to get to church because she only lived about 5 blocks from the church. And now the pastor's saying to her, "Sister Jones, would you like to testify today about your healing? Because God had taken that body and twisted it back into place." And now here it was as she stood and testified. Now the preacher wants her to testify. The pastor's asking her to stand and give her testimony. Why? Because this lady kept knocking. She kept pursuing. She said, "I know God's healed me. I don't care what you're looking at, what you see, what you think you see, but I kept knocking and I kept believing and I kept standing in the word and the promise, and I'm healed today. And I'm walking to church." Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said that we are to keep knocking and keep asking and be persistent. "Well, I sound like a beggar." Well, good. Maybe you need to be a little boy and a little girl again and say, "Can I? Please, can I? Okay, I'll clean my room. I'll read my Bible more. I'll pray. Can I? You know, if you break down, and God knows what's best for you. But he keeps hearing you. He says, "Do it. Do it. And if it ain't good for you," he say, "don't do it. And I'll get her mind changed as long as she's praying." Amen? Because if she's praying, I'm going to show her the truth and the way and the life. And then you'll say, "Thank God for unanswered prayers." Like that song that, was it Garth Brooks sang? He was going to marry the one girl. He just wanted her so bad he prayed and prayed and prayed for her. But he never married the high school sweetheart. Later he said, "I thank God for unanswered prayers." Sometimes God knows what he's doing. But I come to tell you, because the devil's trying to stop you from getting your promise. He's trying to stop you from getting your word. He's trying to stop you from getting your healing. He's trying to stop you from your children getting saved, where you won't keep praying and keep asking. You see, when I was running from God, I was that lost sheep that God was out looking for. He left the 99 safe in the fold, and who he was using was my mother to be that one to go help find her. So every Saturday, my phone would ring. "Hello, honey, this is your mother." "Hi, Mom. You going to go to church with me in the morning?" "I don't know. We'll see." I used to say no to her, and I said, "Oh, I'm not going to tell her no more." She would just bawl and squall on that phone because I told her no, I wasn't going to go to church with her. And when she started crying, "I can't believe I didn't raise you this way. Oh, Jesus." And when she got through, I thought, "I'm not going to tell her no again." So I would say, "I don't know." One time I told her yes, and that was a mistake because she then told me I lied. "You didn't go to church with me and you lied to me." "Well, how did I lie to you, Mama?" "You said you was going to go to church with me and you didn't go." "Well, I intended to. I just changed my..." "No, that's a lie. You lied to me." "Well, then I heard that forever. So I thought, I'm not going to tell her no, and I'm not going to tell her yes. So I'll just say, we'll see. That works better." And so the "we'll see" gave her that room to just keep on knocking, keep on asking. And she'd keep on ringing my phone. I'd tell my husband, "Don't answer it. It's my mother." He'd say, "How do you know?" I said, "You'll see." 25 rings later, "See." Back then, they didn't have it where it cut off or caller ID. But I knew when somebody let it ring 25, there's times I think she took her phone off the hook to ring my phone and never hang hers up. And if she knew I answered it, she knew I was home. But I wouldn't answer it and she wouldn't stop ringing the phone. We would walk out the door with the phone ringing. It got to where my mother was so insistent that I was going to go to church with her that if she couldn't get me on the phone and she couldn't invite me on the phone, she got to where she drove over to my house and honked the horn. My husband would say, "Your mother's out there." I say, "Yeah, well, just ignore it. She wants me to go to church with her." He said, "Well, I'm just going to go set this straight. I'm just going to tell her, just no, you're not going to go." And I said, "Well, good luck. Go ahead." It's one of those, "Yeah, go ahead, honey. Baby, go. 15 minutes later, my mom and him's in the house. And he says, "Honey, your mama wants to see you." I'm going down the hall, meet him. And I'm going, "So did you tell her?" "No." "You didn't tell her?" "No, thanks." He said, "I can't." And so it would get to where this was ongoing, that Mama's asking me to go to church, but because she kept on coming and she kept on asking and she kept on knocking and she kept on insisting, I mean, even to the point that I was like that judge, I'd hide. "Mother's here, everybody hide." "What? You don't understand. If you don't hide, she's going to make us go to church." I'm a grown woman. I'm married, got kid. But she didn't give up. She didn't care. She'd come in, and if she didn't get us when she honked the horn, pretty soon I heard knocking on the door, ringing the doorbell. And if that didn't work, she'd come knock on our window. Honey, it's your mama out here. I guess you must be sleeping hard. Hello? She just banging on that window, and I'm like, ugh. But because she did that, today I'm preaching the gospel. Today I have Jesus in my heart because somebody kept knocking, kept asking. I'm telling you today, we need to get back to knocking. We need to get back to asking. We need to go ahead and ask our neighbor again. We need to go ahead and ask our neighbor again. We need to go ask our friend again. We need to call our children again. I don't care what they tell you. I'm coming back to your place. I'm going to keep on knocking. Baby, it's mama again. I love you. Hi, you going to go to church with me? No! Woo! Oh, do whatever you can, but keep on at them. Don't stop. Well, I just feel like that's going to run them away from me. That's a lie from the pits of the hell. You know good and well if you picked up your purse and went to the zoo with the kids, if you keep on, they're going to give in. Because it was that keeping on that one day I said, let's go. If this will help you to leave me alone, I'm going to go to church with you. Jesus said, preacher, get ready. Preach on the one lost sheep and that prodigal son. Preach on this stuff that getting away from God. And when he got through, it was me. 1,000 people in the church, and he nailed me. Here I am, Lord. He knew the day had come. It's time we keep knocking and asking. He said that in Luke, I believe it is. Let me give you that scripture. Luke 11:9. I want you to see this because he's telling us again in another place. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Seek, and you shall find. What does seek mean? Nope, didn't find it. Okay. Now, I know if I'm playing with my little grandchild that's 3 years old and we play hide and seek, she's going to hide in the same place she always hides because she don't know how to find hard places. And she just thinks it's fun because you walk by and go, where are you? And you know they're right down there. But whenever you play with older people, you're going to have to seek. You under there? See back there? You got them hidden back there? Let me see. Where? Oh, I bet it's over here. I bet you got it. Let me see. Is it back here? No. When you're seeking, you got to seek. That means you don't just one time, oh, God, well, why didn't he do it? The devil wants you to give up and not believe God hears you. But you got to do like hide and seek. You got to seek till you find. It's got to be under here. It's got to be so. Let me see. Maybe it's inside this bottle, but I'm going to seek till I find. I'm going to ask till I receive. I'm going to knock till it's open unto me. Knock, knock, knock. There was a little boy out witnessing. Him and his dad would go every Saturday witnessing. One Saturday, his dad didn't feel good. He said, I'm not going to be able to go today. We'll just stay home. This little boy didn't play games and Nintendo and watch TV because on Saturdays, they went witnessing. During the week, he went to school, and on Sundays, he went to church. And so he said, Daddy, I don't know what to do. Is it okay if I go witnessing myself? He said, sure. The little boy went out and got the flyers. That just all it said was inviting them to church and gave them the church address and what time services was. And he'd go around knocking on these apartment doors. Hi, my name's Johnny, and I just want to invite you to church. Just want you to know Jesus loves you, and we love you, and here's the times and the place. And he came up on one door that he began to knock on the door, and nobody answered. You know, kids just don't go, okay, they're not home. He kept on. After he just kept on knocking, finally he thought, well, maybe they're not home. And he started to walk off, and the Holy Spirit said, go back and knock again. The little boy turned around, and he went back, and he began to knock again. Hello? Anybody there? It's Johnny. Hello? Little old lady with her walker opened the door. He said, "Hi, my name's Johnny, and I just want to invite you to church and tell you Jesus loves you and I love you, and I sure would like for you to come. Would you?" She took it and said, "Thank you." The next morning, the preacher's getting everything ready and church has started, and they're in the middle of praise and worship. In come this little lady with her walker. She took herself slowly but surely and came all the way to the front. And the preacher said, "Can I help you?" She said, "Yes, sir." She said, "This little boy gave me this and invited me to your church and told me that if I come, that you would love me and that Jesus loves me and that he loves me." She said, "I was in my house trying to figure. I have no children, my husband's dead, my aunt and sisters and brothers. There's no family left. I know no one. And I thought, what's the use in living?" She said, "I was in there trying to figure out how that I heard people hung themselves in the bathroom in the shower, trying to get that figured out, how to hang myself, when I heard a knock on the door." She said, "The knock kept coming, but then it finally went away, and I thought, fine." She said, "I went back to proceed to do what I had started to do, when all of a sudden came back another knock." She said, "The knock didn't stop." And she said, "I went and answered the door, and this little boy invited me. And she said, I've come today because somebody, he said, somebody would love me. He said, somebody would care about me. I don't want to know, will you love me? Will you be my friend?" And because of that, and they took her in, and she asked Jesus in her heart. This woman's doing prison ministry today. She was 80-something years old when she gave her heart to Jesus. You're never too old for Jesus. He ain't through with you. That's a lying devil don't want you to knock and do. Not only is she doing prison ministry, she sends out all the "We Missed You" cards for anybody who don't make it to church on Sunday. She sends the thank you cards out. She helps the church with cleaning up the church when her aches and pains and her bones creaking and cracking. And she's also got a prayer meeting going on at her home, and she helps young ladies and she teaches them how to pray. All because somebody was knocking at the door. Hallelujah. God wants us to get back to knocking for lost souls, but he also wants you to keep knocking for the ones that you're praying for your healing, for your deliverance, for your children to be saved. The devil wants you to stop, but Jesus said, "Seek and ye shall find. Ask." Can I, please, please, can I, and you shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah. I come to tell you today, it's okay to keep asking, keep knocking, to come back and ask for the same thing again. "I've been prayed for 10 times. Good. Go the 11th. It could be the 11th or the 12th time is the answer for you. There was a little boy went to a window, and I'm going to close with this. Every day he went to the shoe window, and he'd look in. And it was summertime, and he would look in these shoes up in this window, and he say, "God, I don't have no shoes. All the shoes that I get have been hand-me-downs to my brothers and sisters because we're so poor." And he said, "Mom and them can't afford to buy me a pair of shoes. I want that pair of shoes right there, God. I heard, God, if I ask you that you would give things to people, so I'm asking you for that pair of shoes." Every day that little boy would go up to that window and talk to God and ask him for that pair of shoes. And the store man would come out and say, "You need to get out of here. Now you're all dirty and you're going to run my customers off. And every day you show up here. Now get on out of here." And he'd try to run that little boy off. But every day that little boy would come back to that window and he would look up at those shoes and say, "God, that's the pair of shoes I want on my feet." Now wintertime had come and he still was out doing some of the things he had to get and had his feet wrapped with cloth and sheets because he had no shoes and he had no socks. He was standing in that window and he said, "God, I told you, snow on the ground and it's ice." And he said, "I want that pair of shoes. And I know you hear me and you're going to give me that pair of shoes. My feet are cold today. Those are the shoes I want." About that time, a horse and buggy pulled up. Lady with all of her furs and diamonds and jewelry stepped out of the buggy, climbed down and said, "Young man, what are you doing?" He said, "Ma'am, I'm praying to God for that pair of shoes right there." She said, "You come on in the store with me." Went in and told the man that owned the store, said, "You go down and buy this boy a dozen pair of socks." Back then, they didn't sell them a pair at a time. You had to buy them by the dozen. Gave him the money, and the store owner went down to get some socks. She said, "Now you and I are going to go in the bathroom, clean your feet up for your new shoes. She began to wash and clean his feet. When they got back, the store owner with the socks, she put the socks on his feet. She said, now bring me those shoes. They put them on him. He said, look, see my new shoes. These are the shoes I've been praying for. And there was only him and her, but he'd just go back and forth. I got a $100 bill. Look, see my new shoes. Look, do you see my new shoes? I've been praying for these. These are my new shoes. See my new shoes. The lady paid the storekeeper and went back, got in her buggy. The little boy ran out of the store. She was fixing to pull off. Said, wait, ma'am. Grabbed her arm and said, are you God's wife? You don't know how God sends his messengers, but he hears you. He says, keep knocking. Stand with me. Keep asking. Keep knocking. Keep asking. Jesus does care about you. The devil wants you to quit asking, but Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 21 and 22 says, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. 1 John 3 and 22 says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to ask him again. Are you tired of not having what you've asked for? Tired of your bills being stacked to the ceiling? You tired of your children not serving God? Are you tired of your children being on drugs? Are you tired of them not being saved? Why don't you come and knock again? Why don't you come and ask? Come on, I'll pray with and for you. Whoever you are, whatever you need prayer for, come on down right here this morning. I'm going to agree with you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He said, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. John 10:10 says the devil is out to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. It's not abundant life if your kid's on drugs. It's not abundant life. If they're not saved, it's not abundant life. You can't pay your bills. It's not abundant life if you're sick in your body. Thank you, Jesus, for your truth today. That we can knock, that we can knock, that we can ask and we shall receive, seek and we shall find. Thank you, Lord, for giving me hope again. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. We have to have hope in order to have faith. Evidence of things not seen. Thank you, Jesus. What you need.